following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Good morning again, and welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. Today, we're actually going to be finishing up our four-week series called New Beginnings. We spent the last 3 weeks looking at those new beginnings in our lives and new beginnings throughout the Bible and how God speaks to and through those new beginnings. In the first week here, we had some men from BC Teen Challenge, a number of guys that came and shared their stories of how God was working in their lives, stories of new beginnings, of stories of redemption and change, and stories about how God is using BC Teen Challenge and the power of Jesus Christ to change their lives, and the hope and the courage that they have found in that. And then the second week, we looked at John 4, the story of the Samaritan woman at the well. Here was a woman who desperately wanted a new beginning. She wanted a new beginning that would actually change her life. A new beginning that wasn't just the same old thing that she tried to do herself. She wanted, without really knowing it at the time, a new beginning that was from Jesus. And that new beginning that she found in Jesus was exactly what she needed. You could hear it in her words. She needed this. She was looking for this. She wanted some answers, something real, something true, something with the healing power that only Jesus Christ himself offers. We also read in that story the importance of the townspeople that this woman rushed back to tell. They welcomed her, they listened to her, and they celebrated with her this new beginning. And they even sought that out for themselves. They believed her story, and then they went and found the man who could give them each real new beginnings. New beginnings that would last and that were full of eternal life, that created a wellspring inside of them. It's really exciting. Last week, we looked at the story of Jonah and gave Jonah a little more credit than maybe he is often given, recognizing the incredible missionary that he actually was. And at times, he may not have even recognized that he was really sharing who God was, like with the men on the boat. We looked at how sometimes new beginnings are a really great chance for us to get to know who God is. We saw that not all new beginnings are all about us or even about those that are around us. Sometimes new beginnings point us directly at God and allow us to get to know God better. And sometimes those things that we learn about God are hard, and they're challenging, and they're difficult, and they're frustrating. It can mean our own ideas of grace and mercy and justice are challenged. It can mean a total shakeup of what we might expect God to do. Or it may just highlight what we already know about God, like it did for Jonah, while at the same time highlighting how frustrating that may feel. Jonah's new beginning taught him a ton about God and allowed him to have that conversation with God. He told God exactly how he felt about what God was teaching him. And it brought Jonah closer to God, as God explained grace and love and mercy for creation. It's a wonderful moment between Jonah and God that we get to learn and read and be a part of. Jonah's new beginning, as he learned more and more about God's loving kindness, was gradual. We see kind of peaks and valleys in the belly of the great fish. Jonah, it seems like he gets it, and he's really okay with it. And then he kind of dips back down. He's not so okay with God. We read about a man who is probably very similar to many of us, a man who is passionate about God and continues to try and understand God better and better each day. But through it all, he's not perfect. And God continues to offer him grace and forgiveness, and he continues to pursue him and draw Jonah back in. Again, that's wonderful news. And while Jonah's new beginning was gradual, we also know that Jesus can create a dramatic 180-degree turnaround instantly. I'm sure many of us have heard stories of people who have had these beautiful, dramatic moments of clarity in who Jesus Christ is and the truth that he came to die for each and every one of us. There's nothing formulaic about the way God initiates changes in people's lives. New beginnings come in many different ways, through different circumstances, and with different needs and expectations as those new beginnings take shape and take hold. We've seen in the last 3 weeks three very different kinds of new beginnings, and today we'll look at another very different kind of new beginning. This one's very well known and very unique. This is a new beginning that changes history. This is a new beginning that affects the spread of the gospel around the world. A new beginning that frightened people. A new beginning that must have been frightening for the man himself. A new beginning that is used as a clear example for a 180-degree about face. In a TV show I was watching, someone was about to have a changing moment, and they mentioned, oh, I think he's about to have a road to Damascus moment. This is a new beginning that begins on the road to Damascus. So we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 9, where we'll meet Saul on the road to Damascus. So feel free to open up your Bibles or your Bible apps there to Acts 9. And if you don't have a Bible and would like one, please feel free to raise your hand, and one of our ushers would be happy to give you one to keep if you'd like. That's one of the great joys we have here at Emmanuel, to give the Word of God to those that desire it. So let me pray for us this morning, and we'll dive into Acts 9 together. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for the new beginnings that you are the source of. We know, Lord, that you are the source of real new beginnings. New beginnings that stick. New beginnings that change our whole lives. God, we ask that you open our ears and our hearts this morning as you speak to us through your word. We pray that we learn and grow as a result of hearing and exploring your life-giving word. And we pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand to Damascus. For 3 days he was blind, and he did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who called on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. After many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him. But Saul learned of their plan. Day and night, they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the believers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Let's just look for a second at the very first part of verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. And then we'll take a look at verse 22. Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus, proving that Jesus is the Messiah. Now that's an incredible new beginning. Going from breathing murderous threats to baffling the Jews by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. Wow. No wonder folks had a hard time wrapping their heads around it. No wonder folks were afraid of Saul, of Paul. No wonder he had to tell his story and have others tell his story over and over. And no wonder then when he told his story, people were amazed and were excited and did all they could to protect him. It was clear that Paul was an amazing man who would do incredible things in the name of Jesus Christ. Now here's a new beginning that must have started off really scary for Saul. He's heading to Damascus doing what he thinks is the Lord's work, and he's stopped by a flash of light from heaven, a light that is absolutely overwhelming. And he hears a voice that he understands must be God, because there was the flash of light from heaven and no one else to speak the voice. But that voice isn't really making sense. The voice says, "Why do you persecute me?" Well, that must have been bewildering for Saul. As far as he's concerned, he wasn't persecuting God. He was persecuting people who weren't following God. And then Jesus just puts it out there. He says, "Saul, I'm Jesus, the one that you're persecuting." Now that had to be pretty shocking. What? The apostles were telling the truth? They weren't making it up? Jesus is God? Jesus is who he said he is? Oh. Wow. Okay. And then Saul gets up and he can't see. Again, shocking, and probably really scary. Was Saul being punished? Was he going to be blind forever because he was persecuting Jesus? What's going on? That must have been, and he had lots of trials, but I have to believe that this is up there in the three longest days of Saul's life. Being sent to Damascus, being led by his friends, his disciples, by their hand, because he couldn't see, and waiting to be told what to do. By who? Who's going to tell him? What? What are they going to tell him to do? Why is this happening? The questions that must have rattled around in Saul's head for those 3 days. 3 days without sight. Even with his disciples around him, he probably felt really alone and really scared. Probably replaying the past several years in his head, re-examining everything he did and said to followers of Jesus. Understanding now that even as he was persecuting the followers of Jesus, he was persecuting Jesus himself, the Messiah. But he waits there in Damascus, just as Jesus told him to do. And at the same time, God is speaking to Ananias. God tells Ananias there's someone that he has to go see, Saul. And Ananias' response, I think, is pretty diplomatic. God, I'm not second-guessing you here. I just want to make sure that we're on the same page. You know that that Saul is the one who's been persecuting all the followers of Jesus, right? Just want to make sure that you have the right guy, that maybe you meant a different Saul, a Saul that was perhaps a bit nicer to us, a Saul that wasn't breathing murderous threats towards us. I mean, I think Ananias is pretty diplomatic. He's not second-guessing God, but he's kind of under a little bit second-guessing God. And God replies very clearly and very forcefully, and with words that we know to be true through what Paul does with the rest of his life, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to Gentiles and to their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Ananias goes and he meets Saul. He places his hands on him. He tells him why he's there, and the Holy Spirit fills up Saul. And the scales fall from Saul's eyes. And he could see. Can you imagine the relief that he must have felt in that moment? To be able to see again after 3 days, not knowing how long, maybe expecting he was blind forever. To be able to see again. Ananias just puts his hands on Saul. The Holy Spirit enters him, and he can see. Yes. You can just feel there the new beginning starting to take shape in Saul. He had been waiting there in Damascus for further instruction, and here it is. He can see, and he is given this gift by the grace of God, by the power of Jesus Christ, and in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Paul physically felt the gift of grace as those scales fell from his eyes, as his sight came back. And the entire focus of his travel and his zeal changed from persecuting Christians to declaring everywhere that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Paul has to be one of the most passionate people we encounter throughout the Bible. He's passionate first in his persecution of the Christians. He goes so far as to team up with the Sadducees in his persecution, something that he probably wouldn't have liked doing, but felt was necessary as he was trying to win against the Christians. Paul is passionate even in those 3 days that he spends in Damascus waiting. He doesn't eat or drink anything. He is just there, passionately waiting for the next instructions from God. And then Paul is immediately passionate in communicating to all who he encounters exactly who Jesus is. Paul becomes the most influential missionary in all of Christian history. This new beginning in Paul, it was a catalyst for the spread of the gospel. Paul has an incredibly influential testimony, a story about how Jesus saved him, how Jesus came directly to him and changed his life. And that story changed history. So we have heard throughout these 4 weeks stories that are all good news. So we've heard stories of individual new beginnings, stories of God turning around the lives of the men at Teen Challenge, stories of new beginnings happening right now. These are stories we get to celebrate, we get to support, and we get to encourage. We get to meet these men. We can support them through prayer. We can support them financially. We can support them by visiting them out at their place and worshiping with them. We get to participate in those kinds of new beginnings right now. And we read about the new beginnings in the life of one woman who influenced her town. She brought her town to Jesus. The wellspring of eternal life, the living water that Jesus offered her, she received and immediately went and told her story to those in her town so they could experience the same kind of new beginnings. New beginnings that were real and were whole from the Messiah himself. We read about Jonah and the new beginnings in the lives of the men on the boat. Jonah took these men towards Tarshish, and they began a relationship with God because of Jonah. We read about the new beginnings in the lives of the people in Nineveh. And the new beginnings that God created in Jonah himself, and how Jonah learned more and more about God through these new beginnings. Jonah learned about the fullness and the vastness of God's loving kindness, whether he liked it or not. And then, just today, we read about a new beginning in the life of Saul, also called Paul, who changed history, who influenced the spread of the gospel around the world. New beginnings are all around us. We will encounter them probably today and every day. They are all throughout Scripture. There are new beginnings big, there are new beginnings that are small, new beginnings that affect one or two people, or a town, or a huge city, or the entire world. God is constantly working anew in the world and in Canada, here in South Surrey, at Emmanuel Covenant Church, and in the lives of every single one of us. God continually wants us and is calling us to lead fuller lives, lives of worship, lives of recognition for the grace that we are given, and lives of following Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. How awesome is that? That we get the chance then to celebrate and live out those new beginnings as a family here together, inviting one another into what God is doing in our lives, helping one another see what God is doing around us, and allowing all of us the chance to share the stories of Jesus Christ to one another here and to all that we encounter. We worship a God of new beginnings. We worship a God full of good news, full of grace, and full of love. Awesome. Lord of new beginnings, we give you praise and we give you thanks for the things you are doing in our lives, in the life of this church, Emmanuel, and in the world around us. We ask, Lord, that you make us aware of the new beginnings popping up around us, that you help us celebrate and support and cultivate those whose lives are beginning anew with you, Lord. We ask that you be with us the rest of this morning as we worship, and especially as we celebrate your table, Lord, that holy and that precious table that you have set aside for us as followers of Jesus Christ to partake in communion with him. We thank you again, Lord, for this morning, and we pray all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at Emmanuel.